Welcome back, everyone, to the Board of Forestry virtual meeting being held on January 5th, 2022. Item 9 is next up on our agenda. That is the MGO Department Implementation Plan Progress and Draft Board Policy Concepts for Financial Oversight. This will be led by Bill Herber, and I will turn it over to Bill.
Thank you once again, Chair Kelly, State Forester Mukamoto, members of the board. Bill Herber again joining you today, Deputy Director for Administration. Also with me is Sabrina Perez, and joining us from Macias, Ginny and O'Connell is Leah Cochran, and I'll be handing it off to those two shortly. Next slide, Jason. Thank you. As I mentioned in our administrative work plan earlier, our topic in front of you today has two purposes. Firstly, we will be providing a status update on our third iteration of the department's implementation management plan to address the recommendations identified by MGO. New to these updates is that you will start to hear from MGO directly on their assessment of the effectiveness of our strategies and plans. After we hear from MGO, we will be discussing our progress within version 3 of the plan, specifically highlighting some of our recent successes and some of the opportunities we have seen. Within that, we'll give you a brief update on the status to date and we'll be available for discussion. The second part of today's topic will focus around the specific MGO recommendation regarding policy development on your financial oversight. We'll have a quick overview of that recommendation and then Sabrina will lead you through a discussion with the framework provided in the attachment within your packet. Lastly, we'll talk you through next steps. So as I've noted within our monthly updates on MGO within my financial reports, it took us a while, but we have been able to secure the contract with MGO for their assistance in assessment and implementation of our management responses to their recommendations, as well as providing you, the board, third-party oversight on our progress. So with that, I'd like to hand it over to Leah Cochran with MGO, and we hope to, for you to use her as a resource for your understanding with this topic. So Leah, please join us. Thank you.
Perfect. Good afternoon. Could we go to the next slide, please? All right. So my name is Leah Cochran. I am a director with MGO. I was the main one responsible for the initial assessment that we performed. With me, we have Shawnee, who is a senior manager within our practice. She joined recently. She has over 10 years of experience in government auditing, and then she also has her CIA and CFE, which we believe is going to be beneficial when we're looking at the effectiveness of the design of these controls. So what we have here is we're going to go through the different steps that we're working through within our project. So the first one, we're looking at design. We're going to perform and have performed an assessment of the IMP by recommendation. So we reviewed the identified actions and deliverables to assess whether the recommendation was addressed with those. Step two, we're going to look at implementation. So for assessment, for completed status of deliverables, we will go ahead and do an assessment, which will be a walkthrough of supporting documentation. If it's transactional, we'll review one transaction. So essentially what we're looking at here is if the status says that it's completed, that it is in fact completed and operating as designed. Step three is ongoing monitoring. So here, what we're going to do is once certain deliverables have been completed within each one of the recommendations, we're going to do a reassessment of the risk. So you'll notice that in our report, we had a high, medium, and low risk assessment associated with each one of the recommendations. So here, even if you haven't implemented all of your deliverables yet, you may have already reduced the risk from, let's say, high to medium or from medium to low. And then for deliverable status changes from one period to the next, we'll do an assessment of implementation as defined in step two. So next slide, please. Okay, so this is our observations thus far. So step one, we have performed our initial assessment. The processes and procedures and policies identified appear to address the recommendations included in our report. So it both addresses our original recommendations as well as our updated management plan. And we didn't see any areas for improvement, but as we go through those, there may be additional areas that we will provide. Implementation. So this is in progress. We will provide an update during the subsequent meeting of where we're at on that. And then ongoing monitoring, this will be completed in conjunction with step two, significant risk reduction noted resulting from, okay, so this one, one of the observations that we had was recommendation number 20. And so what that related to was the reporting structure within ODF, and specifically the fact that fire finance was reporting to operations as opposed to administration. So that was one of our recommendations. While that recommendation was medium, it does have a big impact on the remaining recommendations that we have. And we just like to call out that that does appear to be early implemented. And so our next step will be confirming that that is in fact the case. And then we'll be doing our reassessment of the risk associated with each one of the other recommendations. Does anyone have any questions for me? No questions? Okay, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Sabrina.
Thank you so much, Leah. Next slide, please. So good afternoon, board members. My name is Sabrina Perez. I'm the Senior Strategy Manager for the Administrative Branch. And today I'm going to be covering a little bit of the status update for this version of the plan, as well as recognizing some of our successes and opportunities we have to dig in further. So starting out with the highlights, as Leah just mentioned as well, we had number 20, recommendation number 20, slated for implementation by 2023. And we have done some early work to implement that right now, actually. And so that change officially took place on January 1, and that reorganized our fire finance staff from operations over to administration. We hired a change management consultant to help us with that work, and we'll continue to engage that consultant over the course of the next 6 months to a year as we see how that transition is aligning and providing opportunities for alignment and efficiencies, as well as leveraging that work for further implementation of the other recommendations. Another success was the significant progress that we've seen in recommendation 12, 23, and 24. These three all work together significantly. And much of that work is attributed to a limited duration position that we have provided to the legislature specifically for this effort with MGO. Those recommendations are surrounding our budgeting practices, and a significant fiscal analysis occurred relative to our historical practices within the biennial budget, fiscal budget, and our ACC templates. We're also progressing well in our policy and procedure development, making movements on all fronts in that regard, whether it be a formal high-level overarching policy for the agency, several formal ODF procedures, as well as additional procedures in our green book. Next slide, Jason. Thank you. And so with overall that progress in version 3 from version 2, we now have 4 of the 28 recommendations complete and move to an enhanced status for modernization. 4 of those 28, they were targeted for June 30th, 2021. We also have one right now that was targeted for October 31st, and that's relative to the board policy development. We did meet the 31st deadline for incorporating that into the administrative work plan. And now it'll be dependent upon how the conversations occur with you as the board in developing that policy to fully wrap that one up. Moving forward, we do have 4 that we had originally slated and targeted for December 31st. We have seen progress in those. However, we did need to extend those dates to June 30th. And that's significantly related to additional policies that we're developing within the agency. There were other interim deliverables extended within several of those recommendations. Overall, 11 have had no change, and 4 of those are not started. As I, discussed earlier, we have 3 that had significant progress in line with the targets and 1 that had early implementation. Next slide. So overall, as we're honoring the successes and sharing the status, I also wanted to recognize where we have opportunities. Another word for opportunities might be challenges, or perhaps even calling out as potential concerns as we move forward if we can't address these opportunities. However, I have full confidence that we can, and we will. Implementing all of these recommendations is completely doable. However, these are opportunities where we need to dig in further. We currently have some capacity concerns with the resources available in-house. We had several unplanned vacancies over the course of the last 6 months. And that's whether it's relative to the mandates, voluntary vacancies, promotion occurring, as well as several new positions that we're working to recruit. We also had two retirements in key positions that are implementing this work. And the pace of our recruitments is slightly challenged across all of state government. We are also currently working through a realignment within the agency and a reorganization effort as well. And that was highlighted briefly in the staff report. And it will eventually be a great opportunity to put capacity towards this work that we're doing. However, it does take time to realign those roles and responsibilities across the agency. One other area of opportunity as we get into some of these recommendations where we require further technical assistance or further assessment efforts, we do have MGO on hand and we plan to utilize that expertise. We also want to recognize that as our administrative modernization program starts forming and we get those positions filled throughout the new year, that additional IT personnel will be helpful for implementing the recommendations, as well as potentially working with us through some of our system implementation and adaptation of our processes to those new systems. Next slide. And so with that, focused on the first half of our presentation on the implementation management plan. Thank you, Jason. I'll just kind of see if there's any questions of the board.
I have a couple.
Board members?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carla.
Yeah, this is Carla Chambers. I have a couple questions for MGO. First of all, I just want to thank MGO for their help and support. I think you guys, you have all been just fabulous to work with. And you're helping us out significantly. I want to be sure that we have everything under control from your point of view on the accounts receivable and our invoicing of these large fire costs, i.e. specifically to our federal partners. Is there more to do there, or are we on track from your point of view?
So based off of what's written in the implementation plan, it does look like you're on track with what you scheduled for your deliverable dates. However, we have not gone through the process of looking and making sure that those were actually implemented. So that will be our next piece that we're going to start here shortly.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like you to specifically, you know, make sure I think we're on track too, but I would like an outside opinion on that.
Perfect.
The second thing is this agency is financially vulnerable to the size of our fire season.
Right.
And I think, you know, that really jumps out. I want to be sure the board understands to the level that we're financially vulnerable, specifically where we have state lands front a lot of those internal dollars to fund these big fire costs. I think we're also financially vulnerable because we spend such a high percentage of our, like this year, we spent 25% of our biennial budget in the first 10 weeks, or we committed that much in terms of, you know, large fire costs. And I want to be sure that the board understands that vulnerability. And I don't know if you've really looked at that piece specifically, that even if we adopt all of these 18 points extremely well, it doesn't necessarily address our vulnerability as an agency financially.
Agreed. Yeah, we have looked at that. And so I definitely agree with what you're saying as far as you are vulnerable. It completely depends on the fire season. As we've seen the past couple years, you know, they've been much more significant than they have in the past, which is not necessarily something that you would have budgeted for. That being said, when you implement all the recommendations, it's going to help you have a better idea of what your cash flow is going to be. So let's say you're projecting out 3-6 months, you'll have a better idea of that. But when we're talking about, you know, year to year, season over season, yes, definitely.
Well, and I can see our cash is, you know, our accounts payables are really under control. We've got some collections again from our federal partners, but we're still within that window of when they agreed. I think it would be helpful to have a couple paragraphs from you from MGO, an outside perspective on this financial vulnerability. I sense we are very well on track on these 18 points, but as we ask for an outside fire fund, this financial vulnerability is something that we need to be sure our funding partners really understand as well.
Okay, yeah, and that's definitely something we can write up a memo, basically giving some background on it and then showing some statistics and coming up with some observations if that would work on your end.
Right, thank you.
No problem.
Brenda.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. One of the points I recall was to modernize the workflow processes, maybe engaging significant IT resources. Are those IT resources available within the agency, or will you be contracting that out?
Hello, Brenda. Yes, exists that were some of the vacancies Sabrina alluded to. So the positions are there, the capacity is not. In fact, that's one of the areas we took a little bit of a hit from, losing some highly qualified individuals that were making extreme progress on that front. But we are looking, those recruitments are underway, in process statewide as well, or through the state process to fill those. But I believe by the time it's all said and done, it's going to be a mix of in-house and contracted development, given the time frame that we're looking at. But we really want to focus on the in-house development, because the agility we have shown on be able to respond to the issues in front of us.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Bill. Yeah, it just strikes me that whenever you're, you know, redoing a workflow system, it can take some fairly specific skills to be able to build that. And sometimes it's more efficient to contract that out. So, but if you have the people inside, then that's great.
Yes, you know, oftentimes with IT implementation, the business understanding is the hardest part. And mm-hmm. when Sabrina talked about some of our successes with some of those recommendations around the district budgeting, the finance, or the fiscal year budgets, the reconciliation to biennial budgeting, the actual cost computations derived from rate setting on the districts. A ton of that work on the business side was done through an internal resource we had available to us that just has proven invaluable. And there's no doubt that the technical aspect's going to be the easier lift, because what they did on the business side was a big piece of the complexity. So I do hear what you're saying. I think that's when I say the mix will be up there. There's some opportunities to make some quick movements on IT because of the knowledge we've been gaining on the business side.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. That's very helpful. Helps me understand better.
Perfect. And I do appreciate the board engaging MGO on areas where we do need assistance. Carla, I think you identifying a couple opportunities for engagement is perfect in what we are looking for. There's been some aspects where they've only touched the outer areas of a particular process, and there's probably some opportunities for the board to gain further insight by focusing them on those areas. And I think you picked a couple of them. I do want to mention, I hear this, it rings in my head from Carla, a question had a while ago is, are we in trouble yet? And we're not. You know, we've talked about the problem with capacity, and so far there's no major red flags on the recommendations. We're still on track, although we've taken some significant hits with capacity, but capacity is our biggest risk in all of this. We're trying hard to fill all those vacancies. And once we do, there's no doubt we have shown we can move very quickly. But for me, that's the single biggest risk that we're monitoring. But in no way would I say we're in trouble yet.
But Bill, one thing that I think is so important that we understand, we're not in trouble. We're not in trouble on cash. But how big next fire season is in that second year of the biennium is, you know, really determines if we will be in trouble.
Yes.
Because my sense is we can be perfect on those 18 recommendations and still very much get ourselves in trouble because of the vulnerability of you know, how we finance large fire in this state. So our systems can be perfect, but we could still have a cash flow crunch depending on the size of the fire season at the beginning of the second biennium.
Completely agree. When I say no issues or red flags yet, I solely mean MGO recommendation. Our ability to manage the second year fire season in our biennium is a whole different discussion. Completely concur with your assessment of where we are financially. We are not going to make our ways efficient out of this problem. That will help us identify the problem, but it is not the problem.
Chair Kelly, I'd just like to add, you know, Bill and I and Mike Shaw and others have been talking about the impact of this cash flow scenario we have, and it's just not affecting fire, the beginning of the fire season. You know, implementation of 762 programs are something that we're very concerned with, especially that grant program. So
What I really see, yes, thank you for that, Cal. What I really see, and it just popped in my head what Leah kind of mentioned, was the optics. When this is all said and done, our ability to understand our business will be much clearer, and we'll be able to understand the problem a lot clearer than we can today, or we could in the past. We're so far before or beyond where we were just a short while ago, and when this is all fully implemented, will be that much clearer on the problem in front of us.
Yep.
I just want to point out that Bill's operating with about 50% of the capacity he needs. And even though he has great cash flow projections, and I almost wince when I ask him for a different one. So they're working hard and they're getting things out. And so I appreciate that.
I think you might be 50% mentally processed.
Other questions or comments at this point? Sabrina, thank you for that language lesson about successes and opportunities instead of successes and failures or successes and challenges. I am going to take that language and see how that works with my wife. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Good luck. Well, thank you. So, Jason, we have, if you could bring up the presentation again, kind of have a couple slides to provide an overview as we dive into this next part. Thank you. And next slide. There we go. Okay. So this is relative to MGO recommendation number 16 and the Board of Forestry Financial Oversight. So specifically, I will be referencing our attachment one to this here in a minute, but I just wanted to provide a high-level overview of the first couple of pages. This recommendation was a medium risk recommendation from MGO, and their observation at the time was that there was inconsistent and limited reporting of our financials. The recommendation specifically is that a formal policy and procedure should be established by the board that includes clear definition of the reporting requirements. Next slide. And so with that, in the attachment, we went through a little bit of a dive into comparing board and agency policies and the current status, as well as the overarching laws, rules, and policies that govern state government as a whole and the agency as an executive branch agency within that realm. We certainly have the leeway to establish further board or agency policy directives and procedures. We're encouraged to tailor that to how it fits within our agency. And working with you, we'll plan to do so. Wanted to also recognize that both of those processes, whether it be a board policy or an agency policy, will have different approval mechanisms. And so that may influence your direction with this. Secondly, we went through a history of the financial reporting to date. So the board received financial reports starting in January 2012. At that time, it was on a quarterly basis. And I went through several of the financial reports that were included with that reporting over time. However, in 2020, it went through a bit of a revamp of the information. It went to a monthly report, as well as a secondary report that was being sent to the legislature. And in this, there was a greater level of detail and some educational paragraphs as well, explaining how we got to where we were in each status report, as well as just providing the background to how our processes work within the agency. In 2021, that was combined into a combined legislative and board reporting that you receive now, and that was part of your consent agenda item for the last 2 months were provided there as well. And so with that, that's kind of a little bit of the current status. Next slide. And so I'll go ahead and ask Jason here soon to take us back to the gallery view, but we'll be referencing attachment one, where we provided several draft policy concepts for consideration, as well as we'll walk through page four and the discussion prompts to get us through this conversation. And so with that, I think we can go ahead and reference page three as needed. And I'll just start right out with the first question on page four, if you're ready. And so thinking of whether we work through a board policy versus an agency policy, does the board have preference as to whether the standards and responsibilities for financial oversight are defined in a board policy versus an agency policy? Get that one out there.
Well, I guess I will take this in a little broader, context. And I've had a lot of frustration around this issue because, you know, it's very clear in statute that the board is supposed to provide financial oversight. I'm a little frustrated. I know that MGO was supposed to be in their first contract originally. Had supposed to be some outreach actually to the board, and then that got eliminated, never happened. And those were decisions made by department leadership a long time ago. But I'm frustrated that we're looking at all these recommendations and there hasn't been any prior outreach to the board. And you know, specifically, and I brought this up before, We are a board of volunteers, and as Cal has attested, and I think most all of us know, there's probably no other board in the state where the volunteer members spend more time than this board already. What frustrates me, I think, you know, Carla's got a great background on complex finances, and so she's a real asset. But several of us, our background is small business people. We've got academics, we've got scientists, we've got foresters. And the reality is we're not well equipped to really provide the best financial oversight, both because of who we are and then also just because of the time. And when I look at these recommendations, they're perfectly reasonable recommendations that, you know, for us to fulfill that statutory duty, but I just look at that and I you know that going through the process of trying to bring each board member up to speed on understanding this level of complex finances and the time to do all of that work well, I can't hardly feel like I can ask this board to do that. So I've wrestled with this before, and I've had this thought that why couldn't we go out and create a committee of people with finance backgrounds, CFO type of people, who would on some periodic basis review the department's finances and report to the board. I just think there's got to be a better model, because I think we can do everything that's recommended in this report, and I still think we'll do not a very great job of providing what we're being asked to do statutorily. And I'm not trying to deny our responsibility here. I just want us to be able to do a reasonably good job.
Yeah, you know, and speaking to that, this is Leah with MGO. what I have seen at some other entities is a lot of times the internal audit function will be outsourced to a different firm. And within that, they report directly to the board. So when they're reporting directly to the board, that's something that they could be looking at, is looking at the financial data and then doing a higher level report for you. So you see if there's any major items that you need to be aware of in, you know, layman's terms. But I have seen that in the past.
Well, you know, I'm not married to any model, and that sounds really interesting and good. I just practically, and it'll be interesting to hear other board members. You know, as I read through that list again, I was going, oh my God, how can we do that well? So I guess my request, and again, this is prior to hearing anybody else chime in, is that we find some way to reduce the response, the level of time that this will consume for the board, and still provide the oversight that the legislature and the state wants us to provide. Okay, let's see. I'm not sure whose hand was up first, but you're up in the left-hand corner, so go ahead, Ben.
Thank you. I've been having similar thoughts, and I appreciate you kind of laying that out, and I would tend to agree with most everything you've said. I guess I want to just take a moment to highlight the work that the department has done over the last couple years, at least since I've been here, in being very attentive to that monthly financial report that we get. And it's gotten, there's more depth to it in even the 8 months that I've been here, not 10, however many months I've been here. And I find that useful. And I think that is a portion of this project. That being said, I don't have the skills to look at that report and feel confident that I'm able to identify potential red flags that might be hidden somewhere in that report. Not that they would be intentionally hidden, but just I look at that, it gives me a good overview, but I don't feel qualified to really do that justice. So I first want to just point out that that's a great report, and please keep that coming. I think it's very useful. It helps me as a board member feel like I have some sense of what's going on. And I appreciate Leah's comments about an audit that reported to the board from a third party. I think some version of that could be very useful to help us synthesize that report.
Thank you, Ben. Again, I'm not sure of the order here, so I am just going to go to Chandra next.
Thanks, Jim. I really appreciated the way you teed up the conversation. I'm going to admit that I saw the list and, you know, had to hyperventilate a little bit because it looks pretty intensive to me. And the type of training that would probably be required to, you know, allow me to look at all of these documents in great depth and understand all of it would probably be significant. So I am fully supportive of some method where we do have some sort of outside expertise support, whatever that might be. I agree with Ben, the monthly, I think it's necessary for us to be engaged in the goal setting, I think, around financials and understanding the mechanisms that we're using to hit those goals, and then to have metrics that we all understand to track it. And I think that's where the accounts receivable information comes in, right? Where we're understanding the cash flow. This is all things I think we can understand, and we can see flags in a monthly report in some capacity. But in terms of like the in-depth forensics sort of situation, that's not where I would feel like my comfort level would be. And so I would definitely appreciate an outside source for that.
Okay, thank you, Chandra. Brenda?
Thank you, Jim. I guess I'd like to suggest maybe a complementary approach, at least in the short term. I do like your and Chandra's suggestion of a third-party audit that can provide a report on a regular basis. And I don't think it needs to be particularly often, frequent, maybe once a year, maybe even once every 2 years, but an outside eye on everything that can be reported out. I think that would be helpful. The other thing that will be a ways down the road, but will also be helpful, is a dashboard that would allow any one of us who want to dig into more detail in any aspect of the organization's business can do that drill down. We had that capability at OSU when I was there, and it was incredibly helpful. So if I wanted to know, what the amount of money was that was going in and coming out in any aspect of the agency, you could drill down and get that information if you wanted it. And anybody could do that. It would be open access. And I think that would really help us be able to ask informed questions when we do review these reports.
Yeah, Brenda, related to that, I think of, in my years as running a business, but not really considering myself a finance person, I had seen where that bookkeeper or that CFO would just overwhelm you with, the 100 pages of financial reports. And I really learned to request in my position for exception reporting, where really, that report came with bolded, highlighted numbers when anything was really out of the normal and out of the ordinary. And I think, at the level, however it is delivered, that's the kind of reporting at the level of managing that we really want to focus to some degree is to make sure that what is being presented to us has the things that are out of the ordinary quickly brought to our attention and not buried in reams of paper.
Yeah, if I could.
Okay, Carla. Go ahead, Brenda.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up. I think as a board, we need to operate at a 30,000 foot level, but we need to have the capacity to move down to the 10 foot level if we need to.
Yeah.
Thank you. Carl?
So, Jim, I wouldn't fight your desire to have outside expertise. I get that. But I want to just remind us of what we've talked about today. We've talked about an HCP that could cost up to $2 billion. We've talked about a $1 billion plus lawsuit. We've talked about a $500 million plus agency budget and the work plans associated with it. So really, I think the board's doing quite well. And I really want to compliment Bill on getting, this monthly report to us. We can understand that. Honestly, this is audit stuff in these 18 points. I don't think we have to understand all that stuff. What we care about is that our systems are performing, and that we've got the relevant oversight. What I wouldn't want to see is this level of decision and discussion that we're having, and a board saying, I just don't really feel like we can understand the finances here. We're talking about too big a programs that are too costly for us not to really have a good grasp and handle on where we're at financially. But
thank you for that balance. Joe?
Yeah, and I appreciate, Jim, your initial comments. And I think, I was asked, what is the requirement of annual financial audits of the department? Is there any requirement? And question for Bill. This audit of procedures? Do we have
there are yes, there are various audits required. In fact, the state is part of a comprehensive CAFR audit, comprehensive accounting fiscal reporting audit yearly. All of those do look at various things. And I think that's one of the issues in front of us, is the complexity of the problem you all are facing. There's a lot of agencies dealing with budgets. There's a lot of other agencies dealing with covering costs for federal reimbursements for some length of time. There's not many agencies facing back-to-back $100 million asks unbudgeted asks year after year and having to manage that. And it's the complexity of that situation. I think Carla throughout today has made several points of how complex it is. And so there are a lot, to your point, Joe, there are a lot of audits, but not all of them look at something that may bring any awareness to a problem in front of you. Our CAFR audit, perfect example, very transactional based. It always looks good. Sabrina mentioned the previous reports that the board used to get since 2012. They were very much focused on the budgetary front. Budgetarily, we usually look good. You know, it's the cash flow. It's all the nuances, the complexity of the situation around us that we shouldn't have to manage that unfortunately we are. Ultimately, it's the resolution of the emergency fire funding model that fixes this. I mean, I don't see a place where you ultimately should have to manage the situation that's in front of you, because unfortunately, it's untenable for a department to manage these unbudgeted costs year after year. There's a bigger problem at play, and we're trying to get our arms around you understanding a problem that you shouldn't have to understand.
Thank you, Bill. That is certainly our reality. Do others, any further comments from anyone on this topic? If not, Bill, do you feel like, do you feel like you're in a place where you guys can come back to us? I'm happy to have further discussions outside of a board meeting. What do you think is appropriate next step? Obviously, none of us are real hot to follow down the path that has been outlined for us.
Yes, Chair Kelly. I think, as I noted this morning, there's quite a few placeholders for this particular topic in your administrative work plan, because we assumed it would take a little bit of time to truly get our arms around what we were asking you, what the board was finally wanting to do. I do think we received some input today that would help us bring something back to you for the next step of that. We're not coming back with a final solution, just as well as you didn't provide us with, you know, that final solution. I think we're all working through this together. I do think MGO is an incredible asset we can utilize on several fronts. And that's one of the take homes I'm going with to re-engage with Aaliyah on some very specifics for them. But I do think we have enough to come back with you. I have heard the board members on, you know, a different paradigm at looking at these from maybe a third party perspective. I know it's something Cal and I have discussed. I think there's some, reasoning behind that viability, and it's something we can come back to the board with.
Okay, all we want to do is be able to pay our bills and not have any embarrassing headlines in the Oregonian for the department. That's the main goals, right?
I'm right there with you, Chair Kelly.
Yeah. Other departments are sort of taking care of that for us recently. So it's nice not to have our department in the hot seat in the public arena today. Okay. Anything else, Bill?
I believe that it is it. I would like to run it past Sabrina to make sure we're not missing anything, as she is tracking everything we're doing.
Thanks, Bill. No, it's been great. I really appreciate the conversation, and I think we can turn it around into a future agenda item as well.
Just the last thing I want you to think about every day is, do we have our accounts receivable under control, Bill?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do think about that every day.
As long as you're worrying about that every day, I'm okay.
All right. Thank you, Carla. And thank you for the discussion. And thank you, Leah and Shawnee with MGO.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you all. I really appreciate that. That was a good conversation. At this point, we are ahead of schedule. Wonderful.